for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We all welcome to this time of study. And we give God praise for his faithfulness who has led us, fed us with his word. This is the last Wednesday in the year 2023. We will never see another day like this again. It's gone in the next couple of hours. It's rolled up into eternity. And we give God praise for what God has helped us to accomplish in the course of this year. How many of us were part of the midweek service? At least 80% this year, you didn't miss Wednesday meeting as much as possible. God bless all of us in Jesus' name. If it were to be possible, I would have given all of us a gift for showing up every Wednesday. And to a great extent, we know those of us who are always coming, and we bless the name of the Lord. Brother Shegun, are you ready for your people tonight? Those of us in the sixth lesson class, are they around? Those in the sixth lesson class, where is the sixth lesson class? Where is they? Where is the sixth? Okay. Can you follow your teacher? God bless you. If the rapture takes place in the course of the teaching, by the grace of God, we shall meet the Lord together in the air. Amen. None will be left behind. I believe you have the material in your hand, but I would love for us to sing a hymn. Sing the love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. When we all get to heaven, what a day. Sing the love of, wondrous love of, 603.
But when traveling this world, but not
Assumes that we all get to heaven. And I pray that that assumption will turn to reality, that all of us will truly make heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Some actually will not make it. And the reason why they will not make it is very simple. They rejected the Savior. And they refuse to live in conformity with his will. Don't forget that Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many traveling on it. He said, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Only few find it. My prayer is that you and I will be among the few that find that narrow path and commit ourselves to working on it in the name of Jesus. Father, I plead with you tonight that for as many under the sound of my voice, including myself, none of us will miss the rapture. I plead that whatever you need to do in addition to the salvation you've given us in Christ to help us to make heaven, please, Father, go ahead. Do it for us. Do it in us. In the name of Jesus Christ. By every means, Father, take us to be with you in glory. None of us will be around when the Antichrist will be on the earth. Grant that all of us will make the first flight in the name of Jesus Christ. As we go into tonight's teaching, we pray that the entrance of your word will give light and give understanding to every one of us. This teaching will provoke holiness. It will provoke righteousness. It will provoke Christian commitment in all of our lives. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The rapture of the saints. The rapture of the saints. And our text is coming from 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 13 to verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're taking verse 13 to 18 rather. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I want us to read also from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so that when we begin to discuss, we can have a flow. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Let's take from verse 50 to 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 50 to 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 to 52. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The rapture of the saints is a biblical reality. It may not be a reality in your own world. It might be an illusion a fiery tale. It may be a matter for joke, for riddles and jokes, you know, for people out there, or even some in the church, who will say, after all, they have been saying this thing, they have been saying this thing. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Before we are born, they've been saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Where has it come? No, has it come now? Stop wasting your time. Live your life anyhow. I want you to know, be discovering that it's coming is going to be like what? Like a thief in the night. So, the subject of the rapture is a biblical reality. We can't throw it aside. You can't deny it. You deny it at your own risk. And I pray that nobody is here tonight or anyone joining us online who will play with this kind of biblical reality. It's an event that will happen on a day appointed by God himself. That day is not known even to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus himself said it. He said, nobody knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son of Man, but only the Father. And oh, Jesus, where is Jesus now? Is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. The day that will happen, it will just appear as if it's business as usual in heaven. When Baba will say, Son, it's time to go. I know the Son is always obedient to the Father, and he will heed that instruction. I used to think in my small mind that if God had told Jesus the day will come back, that secret will be revealed. Jesus loved the church too much. He will tell us. So I guess maybe that's one reason why God didn't tell Jesus himself. Because he has paid so much to redeem us. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. God also does not want anybody to perish. But then God is a God of standard. God is a God of justice. Praise the Lord. So that day is not known even to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that every believer lives in the consciousness of this reality and daily prepare and trust God not to miss this unique divine event. What is the rapture? And the best way to define such times is to go back to the Word of God. It is the time when Christ comes for the saints to take them to heaven. And when we are talking about the saints, we are talking about believers. We are talking about those who have accepted Jesus into their life as Savior and Lord. We are talking about those whose names are written in the book of life. We are talking about those who have genuinely repented, not those who are playing church. Praise the Lord. We are talking about those who have exchanged their own unrighteousness for the righteousness of Jesus. They are clothed in his righteousness divine. They are the ones that Christ is coming to rapture. John chapter 14, which I believe everyone here is familiar with. Jesus speaking in John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. King James used mansion. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. NIV says there are many rooms. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine how the Father's house, how big that Father's house will be? Amen. Can you imagine how large, I know when we begin to see Paul speaking again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we say that in a large house. So the Father's house is a very large house. Very large. I can't explain the dimension, the size that we accommodate every saint. Amen. The good news is that you may not have any room on earth, but there's a room for you in heaven. Amen. You have a room. I have a room. And you may not enjoy a personal room to yourself on this side of the divide, but when you get to heaven, you have your own room. Hallelujah. So what will happen if you miss heaven? God forbid. You say, this was the room that was prepared for who now? But he didn't make it. God forbid for you and me. May that not be our story. So Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I will have told you. What did he say next? I am going there to do what? To prepare a place for you. And if I go, what will I do? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will do what? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Can you see Jesus? How loving our Jesus is. He will first of all go, prepare the place, come again. He's not sending an angel to come and take you. He will come again all by himself to take you to where he is so that we can be with him forever. See how special we are to Jesus. See how special you are to the King of Kings. And if Jesus will treat us in this manner, we also need to treat him well. We need to build intimacy with him. We need to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. So the rapture is the time Christ comes for the saints to take them to heaven. It is referred to in the Bible as the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 14. So I will read from the screen. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to do what? To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And to live which type of life? Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for what? The blessed hope. And you see an hyphen when he mentioned the blessed hope. That hyphen is to now define what the blessed hope is. And what is it? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope that all saints, every believer, every genuine believer longs for, waits for. In Paul's time, it was as if this event will happen tomorrow. They were waiting earnestly. They were eagerly waiting, looking for the blessed hope. But then it has tarried. This current generation, present generation, seems to be oblivious. It's as if we have forgotten that there's a blessed hope. Many of us think that this is where everything will end. We live our entire life as if this is where everything will end. I need to remind you, sir, remind you,
I need to remind young people that our final bus stop is not here. There's a heaven being prepared for us. And our Savior is coming. The blessed hope. The rapture is the catching up of all living believers and all departed saints in the coming, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and thereafter forever we will be with the Lord. That's what we read from 1 Thessalonians. No, Paul made it understand that the day of the rapture, who are the first set of people? The dead. Which type of dead? The dead in Christ. When we talk about the dead in Christ, what do we mean? Who are the dead in Christ? What does it mean to be referred to as the dead in Christ? Mr. Jao? Believers that died, they've already died before Christ returned. And we know we have many like that. There are many like that, you know. Family members, friends that have gone ahead of us. Okay? We've buried them. They're in the grave now. On the day of the rapture, Paul said that they will go first. They are our senior, isn't it? They senior us. So it's like Jesus said, give them that honor, give them the respect. Let them go out first. Praise the Lord. That day will be super, It will be wonderful. You know, the painful aspect is that those who will not miss the rapture, they will see their loved ones coming out of the grave, pium, 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 like this. And they are not moving anywhere. They are like kites that cannot fly. Have you flown kites before? Has any of us played with kites? When you throw your own kite like this, instead of your team being, the thing is just nosediving. You can't crook it. So if you have a family member that has died and was a believer, in fact, that's one reason why you should not miss the rapture. Because you have the opportunity of meeting that person again. And you now have a reunion. In fact, you will discuss. Say, all this while that you left us hasn't been the other side. You share, you interact. Hallelujah. So, the dead believers, we first of all look at what scripture says in that 1 Thessalonians. It says in verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So, the dead in Christ and the living in Christ are the ones that will make the rapture. So you now see that it's not enough to give your life to Christ. It's very important that in addition to giving your life to Christ, you must continue to live in Christ. You must continue to do what? To live in Christ. For it is only those who are living in Christ that will be part of this experience. We've defined who the saints are. We're talking more about that when we start studying the book of Philippians. Who are the saints? And why would Jesus call them saints? Because the understanding some of us have whenever we use the word saints is that saints has to do with those who have died. But we discovered that the understanding and the definition of the Bible is different when it comes to some of these terms. Some of the passages about the rapture. And we're going to just read these ones. Matthew 24, verse 36 to 41. Matthew 24, from verse 36 to 31. Matthew 24 from verse 36 to 41. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man come at an hour when you do not expect him. Praise the Lord. Please, can I ask us to take the microphone? Who is helping us with microphone? From that portion we just read, what can you say about the subject of our discussion tonight? We have established the fact that the day and the time, the hour is not known, isn't it? But there are other things that Jesus mentioned from verse 37. From verse 37, what are the signs? Even though the exact date is not known, the exact time is not known, but Jesus gave us some hints. Who wants to mention what you saw in that passage? Verse 37, verse 38, verse 39. The way you are, everybody's quiet tonight, is as if the rapture wants to take place tonight. And want to go by all means. Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing a hand. Sorry, this light is much, so I can't see from a distance here.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
According to the Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. What I understand there is that when the rapture may take place, many of us might be enjoying ourselves. Many people might be in the club. Some of them might be in a birthday party. Many people can be in different locations. So it's only the people that are Christians, that are believers, that are not found in an unwanted place, that the rapture...
I like that word you use. Found in where? Unwanted place. Praise the Lord. He said, he initially started many of us. I said, no, I'm not part of them. But thank God that at least towards the end, he was able to change that. Many people will miss this day because of the kind of association that they keep. Don't forget what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who does not what? Walk in what? Who does not stand
in the way of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. See three things mentioned there: walking, standing, and sitting. You can only do one of those three at a time. You are either walking. So the question is, who are the people you are walking with? And from what we are learning tonight, the kind of people you are working with will determine whether you will make it or not. Don't forget also, 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 10, verse 31 says, evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. Scripture will also say, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So the kind of association that you keep will determine whether you are going or not. Say, as it was in the days of Noah. Because when you read that scripture on the surface, it's now ask yourself, so are we not going to eat? Are we not going to marry? Will we eat? Will we marry? But the dimension the Bible is talking about has to do with the environment where this is taking place. And that's why I agree with what you said. There are some of us here, you still club. Huh? Clubbing. You don't see anything wrong in it. You close from work, instead of going home, you just go to one club and you don't see anything wrong, just sit down. Prostitutes will come around, they will play around, they will dance around. He said, but I'm not sleeping with them. But what did Jesus say? When you even look, just by looking, you have committed the sin. Praise the Lord. Yes, let's take our brother.
Praise the Lord. When you dissect what was said there, he talked about when he said the people you walk with, don't forget that the Bible said two people will be in the field, one will be taken. So it's not about the people you walk with, it's about you. Now, if you look at, he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Last week and on Sunday, you were taking a series. When the Bible talks about before the coming of Jesus, Elijah will come. He said, turning the hearts of the parents to their children. Now, another portion of the Bible says that same Elijah is John the Baptist. So, now when the Bible was talking about as it was in the days of Noah, what was happening in the days of Noah that was significant to the time of Elijah, which was Elisha, which means that before he comes, Noah was warning them of that day. Now, the Bible talks about there will be drinking, there will be marrying. It means that activities will go on. There will be development, there will be commerce, there will be a lot of things. So it's not that the economy will be sliding, but things will be happening. You will see growth, you will see development. He said at that time, when no man knows, he will come. But what was happening in the days of Noah is because he was foretelling them of the things that would happen, but they did not pay attention. And what happened again in the days of Noah? Because when he was warning them of the rain ahead, there was no sign that there was rain coming. Because when he warned them, the season did not show that a rain was about to fall. There was no, Bible says you cannot study the kingdom of heaven. Just like was it Elijah that told his servant, he said, go and check seven more times. When he went, then at the last one, he said, I saw a hand. Now, for the days of Noah, as it was, there was no sign. So what he's trying to tell you is, in correlation, before Christ comes, there would arise John the Baptist. What is the ministry of John the Baptist? He was warning of repentance. he was warning of morality. John the Baptist was the only person who could face Herod one-on-one to accuse him of taking it. So there will be warnings that people will not take. There will be warnings that people will not hear. People say, what is he saying? Like Pastor said, they said, is it today we have been hearing it? That is what will happen as it was in the days of Noah. Thank you.
You see, that part at which he concluded his thought is what you need to hold very well. That God will be speaking, will be warning, will be sending messages that people will not pay attention, just like they were not paying attention when Noah was talking to them. They found it ridiculous. When Noah was saying, rain will fall, he said, Abba, nothing like that has ever happened here. They didn't believe it. And when the day came, pyam, like that, before you know it, they were all swept off by the flood. May the Lord keep every one of us alert. Keep us awake. Don't be among them that plays with the word of God. Don't be among them that joke with the things of the spirit. Don't be among them that ridicules, teachings of this nature. It's our life. It has to do with our life. It's something that once you miss, there's no other word, no other remedy. It's a bad miss. Okay, I'm seeing a hand.
Praise the Lord. I totally agree with what our brother said there. But there's something I want to...
Don't forget that we are looking at that section of Matthew 25.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the things that will be happening when the end time comes, those things are happening even here right now. And talking about association, you say the association doesn't really matter that it is you. I want to say that association matters. What happened where you are matters a lot. So if you know that you are a Christian and you're walking towards taking this very flower here, and the people you find yourself with, you know you cannot stand them. You know your faith is not enough to go with them, detach yourself from them. Because if you say, let me stay here, what they are doing, as time goes, your love for God will turn to infatuation. You think you are still loving God, but it has changed from love to infatuation. So the people you work with matters a lot.
Yeah.
And the things also you do matters very much. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. We are striking that balance. Yes. First of all, it is you, but then you can't separate the you from the company that you keep. Praise God. It will take extra grace for you to be delivered, just like the story of Lot. It took the intercession of Abraham to get Lot and his family out of where? Out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even then, you still know that Mrs. Lot lost a lot. In the process, she still could not make it because they got her out of Sodom, but Sodom was still in her. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Praise the Lord. Yes, Dr. Yatub.
So I just want to say that when the Bible says two will be working in the field and one will be taken, it means... it's not a collective flight. So that I belong to Mountain of Fire, I belong to Redeemed, I belong to IBC. When Jesus comes, we pack all of us. No. He will take the one that is in him, the one that belongs to him. So we shouldn't deceive ourselves and say we are a Christian family. We go to church and we are in fellowship. So he will meet us in fellowship. It is the state of your heart at the point when the rapture takes place.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, that's a serious one. It's not a collective flight. It's not a collective flight. Everybody will answer his name.
Sir? Show your own boarding pass. Brother Julius, I'm seeing your hand. Oh, yeah. Okay. You're not ready yet. Yes, sir. Take note of that statement. It's not what? It's not a collective flight. It is personal. Eh? If you like, be Romeo and Juliet. Romeo will go on his own. Juliet will go on his own. God helping couples. Couples. This one speaks to multiple couples, isn't it? How wonderful will it be that husband and wife, they even though it's not collective, but let that day be that we are taking off together. And I look and say, darling, you made it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we get yonder, we'll continue the discussion. Let's enjoy this ride first. Amen. Yes, sir.
This portion again and again reminds us of the fact that we should live in the consciousness of the presence of God. 247. That consciousness will help us to realign our relationship with God through the word in every aspect of our endeavors, wherever we find ourselves. Because when we lose that consciousness, it now makes us, like our brother said, we become too familiar with God. In our daily encounter with the word of God, it helps us to reposition ourselves. Like the Bible says, that be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of God will come.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. So let's take another scripture. First, let's read John 14. We read it earlier. But let's read it. Let's bring out some salient truths about the rapture from John 14, verse 1 to 3. Very popular scripture. I want young people to speak. So John 14, 1 to 3, what can you make out from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, where our teenagers in church, our students, what can you make out of John 1, 2, 14, 1, 2, and 3 with respect to the rapture? I'm looking at you. Can you tell us? Yes, is that Tolu Alogo's hand I'm seeing? God bless you, Tolu, my professor. Thank you.
So basically, what I understand in this is that God, Jesus Christ was urging the disciples, and not just disciples, the people he was talking to trust in him. And also to also trust in the Father, because he's saying that there are many mansions in heaven, and then he's going to go and prepare a place for us, and all we have to do is just to trust in him.
Just to trust in him. Praise God. Leave that verse one there. You know, the tendency most of the time when we begin to talk about the rapture, the second coming, is that many of us begin to get scared. Am I communicating? Shall you see the way all of us are sober in church tonight? Once you start talking about second coming, everybody just become what? Very sober. You become humble. But you see how Jesus started that verse 1. What did he say? Don't be scared. That's just my paraphrase. Don't be what? Don't be scared. And what our brother now said, just trust in me. Just believe in me. Believe in God, believe in me also. And he went further now to talk about what he's going to do, what he's going to do, and what he planned to do. So it's not a matter of fear. In fact, fear itself is a sin. And God does not want us to be afraid. Rather, he wants us to be trusting. It's a journey of faith.
Becoming rapturable is a journey of what? It's a journey of faith, trusting in God, depending on God, depending on his ability. None of us can make it on his own, in his own strength. That song we normally sing, when it shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in what? In his righteousness alone, not in our own. That's where the issue of faith comes in. Praise the Lord. So let me take us through section C, because I'm looking at time. What are the things we need to note about the rapture? And we're going to be picking all this from the 1 Corinthians 15 passage and 1 Thessalonians passage. Number one, it is the first phase of the second coming. In this first phase, we're going to be discovering that Jesus will not get to the earth. The meeting point will be where? In the air. So it entails the coming down of the Lord from heaven. The Lord will come down by himself, like we see in 1 Thessalonians. It says, the Lord himself. You know, each time you are reading the Bible, pay attention, close attention to every word. They are not there for fun. That same passage will have said, for the Lord will come down from heaven. But when the Bible now added himself, the himself is not telling us that it's not going to send a delegate. Somebody is not coming to represent him. He himself. I know the day Jesus was ascending in the book of Acts chapter 1, the angels announced to the disciples, say, this same Jesus, this same Jesus who went to heaven shall in like manner return. So the Jesus that we are talking about is the same Jesus that came, was born by Mary, that was hung on the cross, buried, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven. That same Jesus is the one coming himself. He will come down from heaven. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians made us to understand that this is a mystery. It's something that you can't actually explain so much in human words. It's better experience. And 1 Corinthians 15 passage talks about the fact that we're going to be given resurrected bodies. The kind of bodies that we defy gravity. That's the kind of body given to those dead in Christ. The same body will be given to us, transformed bodies. It will happen in a flash. It will happen in what? In a flash. In a flash. Did you see 1 Corinthians 15:52? In a flash. In a split second. In the twinkling of an eye. I want us, all of us, can you twinkle your eye? Twinkle your eye. Let's see how many minutes it takes. Is it up to a second at all? That's to tell you that this is not something you joke with. I think I was saying, I don't know whether it was last Sunday or not too long, that those days in our unbelieving days, because we are born in the church, we know everything about the Bible, rapture, we've heard it, there are teachings we are familiar with. When we are cracking jokes among our unbeliever friends, we will say to ourselves, don't mind them. I will go before those church people self. We'll be deceiving ourselves. See, immediately I see Jesus coming like this, I'll just quickly repent. Did you see that will not work? Will it work? It will happen out in a flash, twinkling of an eye, before you know it, it has happened.
If it is on a Wednesday like this, you just suddenly discover that I've dropped the microphone for somebody else to continue the message. Eh? Who will take over the message? Certainly not any of my pastors. We're all going together by the grace of God. Are you joining us? Are you sure you are joining us? Can I be sure that you are joining us? I told you also whether last Sunday or I don't know. I think we've been talking about, I don't know what I preach again on. Okay, I think it was last Sunday. I told you I had my pastor told us that some pastors are preparing their congregation for the Antichrist. And some pastors are preparing their congregation for the rapture. We want to prepare you for the rapture. Are you hearing me? Not for the Antichrist. Where there'll be gnashing of teeth. You say, had I known, I will have listened. No, I will have listened to what these pastors have been telling us. So I will have listened. No, by that time, it is too late. Too late. So it will happen in a flash, the twinkling of an eye. It will be at what the Bible called the last trumpet. What do they normally use trumpets to do? You know, we think that trumpet is only for music. We call this one sax, that one sax. Today we have so many sax. I pray all of them that are blowing sax, they will meet the rapture. Praise God. The last trumpet, one day, just one last trumpet. It will sound and the entire globe, it will reach everywhere. And that is the clarion call. It's an announcement for the saints that the day we have been waiting for has finally arrived. Oh my God. All those songs we used to sing those days, we don't sing them in church again. All the songs we sing today are songs for the earth. We don't sing about heaven. We don't sing about rapture. Those days in scripture, you know, when we gave our life to Christ, you know, our attention is pointed to eternity. Heaven is full of joy. Heaven is full of joy. No more sorrow. Heaven is full of no more weeping. Heaven is full of joy. Joy. Heaven is full. And we will clap and dance as if we are going to heaven the next second. Today. Remind me the one we sang last Friday, last Wednesday, Reverend. Daddy with the pamper, daddy with the bless. That's what we sing now. Daddy with the pamper, daddy with daddy. So he loves to pamper us, but at the same time, he doesn't want us to miss heaven. No. Heaven is the goal. Heaven is our destination. Hallelujah. There will be a loud command, the shout of the archangel, and the sounding of the trumpet of the Lord. Like we said, number 9, the dead will rise. The dead in Christ will rise first. The believers who are still alive will follow. Number 10. Number 11, there will be a great reunion of the dead and living believers. Wow. Dead and living believers, they will get reunited in the air with the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful experience. That we defy gravity. And we are in the air, you know, momentarily having that reunion, that fellowship before the Lord. And I said, okay, my children, let's go and report to the Heavenly Father, and we now go before our God in heaven to celebrate. The rapture will take place in the air and not on the earth. Hallelujah. The experience of living face to face with the Lord Jesus starts with the rapture when we get to heaven. At the rapture, Christ takes the believers home to heaven, where he will present them to God and remain during the tribulation. That is why once you miss the rapture, you face the tribulation. I don't want to go into the arguments by pre-millennials and all that as to the number of years this will take place and all that. We just want to make this teaching as simple as possible. We don't want to confuse ourselves. We just want to pass the salient truth that there will be a rapture, there will be the great tribulation, okay? And after a period of time, so we talk about the tribulation saints. Tribulation saints are believers. For some reasons, they miss the rapture. They will now face the Antichrist. They will be tortured, but they will not deny Christ. They will go through that period, but it's going to be very... That's why Jesus himself said that only few will actually make it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Serious distress on the earth. And I don't want that. I don't want to be part of that experience. I just want to go with the first flight. Have you not had enough trouble? Than to go through another? Are we not having tribulation now? Are we going through tribulation now? So why do we wait for another tribulation? So it doesn't make sense. So the challenge is for believers. Challenge for believers is to prepare for this great event by encouraging one another in the Lord. That is what we see Apostle Paul admonishing the saints in that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Say, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. Every one of us has one ministry. What is that ministry? Ministry of encouragement. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has also given us the ministry of encouragement to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters. There are brethren that are going through stuff. There are brethren that are going through very trying moments, trying experiences. And some of them, it's like their faith wants to fail. What we are supposed to do is to come alongside them from time to time and encourage them, so that they continue to look forward to that day, the blessed hope. Amen. In addition to what we have said, what's the purpose of the rapture? For Christ to receive the saints to himself, as we have seen in John chapter 14, seen in Thessalonian passage, to resurrect the dead in Christ from among the wicked dead. To resurrect the what? The dead in Christ from among what? The wicked dead. There are wicked dead. Who is a wicked dead person? Simply put, the person who refused to accept Jesus into his life as Savior and Lord. Not necessarily that the person is a witch or a wizard, an embezzler. Anyone that fail to give his or life to Jesus is a wicked person. What makes him wicked? Because he is aware of what Jesus did for him on the cross at Calvary.
And despite that awareness, despite that knowledge, he refused to do what? To accept the work of redemption as his own personal experience. For that alone, Jesus will also disown him on the last day. To take the saints to heaven to live in the New Jerusalem and receive reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Media, can you give us 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10? We take us to heaven, referred to as the New Jerusalem, where rewards. Can we read 2 Corinthians 5:10 together? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Rewards are coming. Number three, to transform the bodies of the saints from mortality to immortality. Five, to present the saints before God. Six, to make the saints whole in body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you see Paul's prayer when he prays, may the Lord preserve your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus. And see, that's the kind of prayer you should pray for yourself. Pray for your family members. Lord, please preserve my whole spirit, soul, and body, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is his coming that matters. So if my whole spirit, soul, and body is not blameless, is polluted, is defiled, because scripture says nothing defiled will enter there. So it's a prayer you need to pray for yourself on a daily basis, a regular basis. Okay? Number seven, to help the saint escape the tribulation of Revelation 6:1-19. Preparing for the rapture. How do we prepare for the rapture? Number one, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and do what? Believe the gospel. You know, most of the time when we talk about repentance, many a times we think that repentance is only for the unbelievers. Repentance in this context also speaks to believers. Even though they have given their life to Christ, even though they are born again, but they are still playing with sin. They tell lies. They steal. They have anger issues. All kinds of stuff that should not be in the life of a believer is still in their lives. They still practice it. Such people, what do they need to do? What do they need to do? They need to repent. And I ask myself, I ask you tonight, what are things you need to repent of? What are things in your life, in my life, that if the rapture takes place now, may disqualify me, may disqualify you? What are we supposed to do as touching that? We are to repent of it. We are to repent of it. And say, Lord, I'm no more going to be involved, to be part of this situation. Repent. Believe the gospel. Let's read Revelation chapter 22. It's a fairly lengthy passage, but let's try and read the word of God. Jesus is speaking here in verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Can we all read verse 11 together? Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who do what? Wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside, which are the type of people outside? The dogs, the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hear say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Can you help me read verse 20, where we are stopping? He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. What was their response? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Praise the Lord. The second level of preparation expected of us is watchfulness. Watchfulness and readiness. Watchfulness and readiness. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We read that earlier. Matthew 24. Verse 42 to 44. Say, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. Praise the Lord. Watchfulness and readiness. Similar to that is faithfulness and compassionate kingdom service. Verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food in the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what is interesting in this section we are reading is that what Jesus is talking about here, he's not talking about an unbeliever. He's talking about believers who failed to do what? To engage in what? In kingdom service. They were not faithful in their service to God. When they were supposed to be serving God, they were playing church. They were lazy. They were given assignment in the church. They handled it, you know, carelessly. You see Jesus talking about them here. The master of that servant will come. Is their master. See, their master will come on a day when he does not expect him, and he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Avoid wasted privileges. Avoid wasted privileges as part of the preparation for the rapture. We must not waste the privileges that heaven has accorded us. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. Similar to what we have just read. That servant who knows his master's will, take note of that. That servant who does what? Who knows his master's will is not ignorant. This servant knows his master's will. He knows that this is the right thing for me to do. He knows that this is what God wants me to do. But that servant, instead of doing it, will not. He said, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with how many words? Many blows. So some of us, like Paul would say, you will escape by fire. Some will enter heaven with blows. Blows. So you won't blow. Me, I don't want that kind of blow. Praise the Lord. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, take note of that. That's why we're talking about the issue of avoiding wasted privileges. The one who does not know, I'm trying to say, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. How much has been committed to you by heaven? And how much are you giving back to God? How much are you giving to God of your time, of your treasure, of your talent? Number five, make holiness and peace your lifestyle. Hebrews 12, 14 to 17. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall do what? Shall see the Lord. What are two things we must pursue there? Peace and what? And holiness. Peace and holiness. Peace and holiness. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. You want to make heaven? You must be a man of peace. You must be a woman of peace. Peace must be your watchword. And holiness must be your lifestyle. Number six, continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It's on the screen. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. So where we anticipate is coming, where we're expecting the rapture to take place, we are not supposed to be idle. We are supposed to be involved in kingdom service. At the same time, we are supposed to be growing in our work with God, growing in the knowledge of Jesus, growing in our obedience, in our commitment, growing in the grace that Jesus has provided. Jude 24, and I will request every one of us to read Jude 24, because this is our comfort. This is our comfort. Or maybe my comfort alone. Jude 24, depend on the ability of who? Depend on whose ability? The ability of God. Don't depend on your own ability. Don't depend on your own strength. Don't leave this place tonight afraid and be asking yourself, how can I make this thing? I'm not sure it will be possible. Look at where we are ending tonight and trust God. Understand this scripture. Let it be your prayer. Let it be your confidence. Jude 24. Can we all read it together? To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without what? Without fault. And with what? With great joy. Hallelujah. 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 I may not be able to present myself before God faultless. I may not be able to say, when that day comes, surely I will make it. That will be my own confidence. But I'm trusting him who is able. I'm trusting him who is what? Who is able. That should be our confidence. That should be our dependence. That should be what we are trusting. That there's someone who is able to do what? To present us before his throne, faultless. That is our hope. That's our confidence. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, my NIV say from falling, and to present me before his glorious presence without what? Without fault and with great joy. In my life tonight, in your life tonight, there will be many faults. Are you following me? But there's the miracle that we are believing him for. That there's someone who is able to help us. So long we don't depend on the energy of the flesh. We don't depend on our own righteousness. How he will do it, I do not know. My own responsibility is to live in vital union with him, grow in my intimacy with him, in my working relationship with him. When that day comes, he knows how to sort me out. It's my prayer that no one, including myself, under the sound of my voice in this teaching, will miss the rapture of the saints in the name of Jesus Christ. I therefore commend all of us to God, who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So this time around, we're going to sing The Solid Rock as we conclude tonight. The Solid Rock is number what now? Five eleven, and you know, Reverend Yegbu will always lead us to sing the last stanza. So, as part of reminding us of how important that day is, never to while away time, but just to point us to heaven. I'm sure we all know this hymn. 511, Solid Rock. You want to sit down. You want to stand, stand. Just be at liberty. Connect with God. That is what matters. Okay? To encourage you tonight, if you're in this meeting, you know you have not given your life to Christ, or you backslided. You've not given your life to Christ, you are not sure of it, or you backslided, or there's something that you know is in your life that will not allow you to make the rapture. As you are singing that last stanza, I want to just invite you to just come to the altar and just settle it with God. Just kneel down by the altar and just talk it over tonight. Just settle the matter with God tonight. Those who have never given their lives to Christ, those who gave it to Him but they backslided, those who know tonight that they are not right, I'm not, my life is not right with God. If the trumpet should blow tonight, I may not make it. You are not just sure of it, I want you to just come as we sing that last stanza and kneel before the altar and settle the matter with the Almighty God. Your two hands to heaven. Those that need to be at the altar, come to the altar to give your life to Christ if you have not done so before. Can you raise a cry over your own life? Say, two shall be on the bed, one will be taken, and the other slept. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Oh, I will not be left behind, Father. Whatever you need to do again, Father, please. Do it in my life. 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 You're in this meeting or watching online. You have not given your heart to Jesus. You're not born again. Don't play with this opportunity. Don't joke with this golden opportunity. Maximize the opportunity of tonight. And come and settle your account with God. Come and settle with your maker in the few minutes that is available. Thank you, Jesus. Help my life. Blessed be your name, Father. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Lord, we thank you for taking us through the book of Malachi. Thank you for how you have helped our lives this year. As we go through the perfect law of liberty, we ask, O God, that everything that we have learned this year shall remain part and parcel of our Christian experience. You help us to continue to obey your word. You help us to continue to be doers of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that every truth that we have gleaned from the book of Malachi, none will stand against us on the day of judgment. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray particularly that you help us to be prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that at his coming, none of us here tonight and those joining us online shall miss that experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, we confess our inadequacies. We confess, oh God, that on our own we cannot make it. But Lord, we entrust ourselves, we entrust our lives to you tonight. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that's able to keep that which is entrusted to him against that day. We entrust our lives to you afresh tonight, spirit, soul, and body. that you will preserve us against that day in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, show us mercy that sin will not have dominion over any one of us, that we shall love righteousness, we shall hate wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your wonderful name. Be thou exalted. Be thou magnified. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.